Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Bob Kessler, the newsman, has strolled into our studio.
Hello.
Hi, Robert.
Nice to be back here on Middays.
How about that? Then you're going to do this and then go to the afternoon news?
I'm going to do this, and yeah, I just doing this didn't cover me enough to take the afternoon off.
No, you have bigger responsibilities than this. Sarah Tiemann, who is the librarian of the WGN Radio Book Club, lives in England now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, John. Hey, Bob. Hey,
thanks, Sarah. for jumping in here, Sarah. And Steve Bertrand, who hosts a books podcast at WGNRadio.com. And everywhere is on the line, too. Hi, Steve.
Hey, John. How is everybody?
Good. So what's the, Steve, you chastised me last we spoke because you said I didn't get the name of your site correctly. What do we need to say for you?
It's Steve Bertrand on Books.
Steve Bertrand on Books. All
right, got a .com in there?
No, that's the name of the, I don't have my own website. That's the name of the podcast, but you can get it at WGNRadio.com on the podcast page or on Spotify, on your iPhone podcast app, or just anywhere you get apps, other podcasts, you can find it.
Okay, so that's the podcast. By the way, Pete, let's put Steve on hold for a second and see if we can get him a cleaner line as we all plow through the books we've been reading. Steve Alexander's going to jump in here, too. But, Sarah, let's start with you. What's the book that you enjoyed last month that you want to share with our listeners?
Ooh, I guess I'll start with Buckeye by Patrick Ryan. It's a great kind of sweeping family saga story, centers around two families living in like middle of Ohio. We learn more about Cal and Becky, who are one married couple, and then Margaret and Felix, who are another couple, and their offspring, Skip and Tom. Deals with a lot of things. I think the word that comes to mind when I think about this book is like Americana. If that makes sense at all, I haven't read a book like that in a really long time. And this just hits, you know, that kind of mid-American feel, but spans from about the 30s to maybe the 70s, 80s. So, you know, a wide swath of time. We're dealing with a lot of different, you know, issues behind those like proverbial white picket fences, shall we say, like infidelity, prejudice, loss, forgiveness, homosexuality, love, secrets, and choices.
Wow.
It was really gripping. At first, it's a little bit odd because the first three or four chapters are like all in Cal's like world, and then it like jumps to Margaret. So that felt a little bit disjointed to me, and I almost gave up, but I was curious enough about the characters that I stuck with it, and I really, really enjoyed it.
That book is Buckeye, and all of these books will be posted at WGNRadio.com/books right after the show. We might even have that list up for you just as soon as we get rolling here. But after the show or after this segment, you'll be able to go to WGNRadio.com/books. What did you really enjoy, Bob?
I really, really enjoyed Theo of Golden. An interesting story there. The author, Alan Levi, is in his 60s, and he'd never published a book before. And he self-published this novel, Theo of Golden, and got rave reviews. So I read it, and I finished reading it, and what I wanted to do was start over and read it again.
Yeah.
It was that good. It's about a man who arrives at this small town in Georgia. He's from another country. No one knows him. And he starts by, there's an artist who's displayed portraits of all the townspeople in the coffee shop. It takes place in the present day. And so this strange man comes to the town. He's very kindly. And he wants to purchase these painted portraits and give them to the subjects of the portraits as a gift. And so it's a series of vignettes about the process of purchasing the pictures and giving them to the people, and you get to meet all these characters. But then it takes on a whole nother level, the last maybe eighth of it. And I'm not kidding. I wanted to read it right away as soon as I finished this one. Yeah, Theo of Golden.
Theo of Golden.
It got all the many of the best of lists from last year.
Yeah.
And it was really tremendous.
I will add that a book that I went back and started reading passages again was the one that I just interviewed the author, in fact, this morning, and we'll play that back sometime next week, but A Marriage at Sea. And a lot of you have read that book.
Getting all the
Yeah. I know.
It's and so good.
It's only like 250 pages, too. So I read it in a weekend. And yeah. Not only is it a remarkable story, but the writing is just so thoughtful. In a short sentence, that author can say so much. It's the story of a couple in 1973 who, at sea, their boat got hit by a whale. The ship sinks, their yacht, their sailboat. And then for 118 days, they survived. And it's not just about their survival, but their marriage. And then the lovely thing about the book is they get rescued, and then their life gets even nuttier. So,
boaters.
Oh, my gosh. A Marriage at Sea. Steve, you read it as well, right?
Yeah. I loved it, yeah. And I thought, I don't know if your takeaway was the same as mine, but I think she would have done okay on her own. Him, not so much.
Yeah, but that's, you know, so I said to the author, I have empathy for him, or sympathy. I mean, so he's painted in what you just heard from Steve as a guy who could not have survived. And I don't think he could have. But I think he was doing the best that he could, you know? He wasn't a slacker. I think he was depressed. He was a is misanthrope the right word? He did not play well with others.
Sounds like a sailor. Mm-hmm.
So lucky for him that he found her. Steve, what's a book that you enjoyed?
Yeah, if you want to read something just for fun, no thinking, deep thoughts is necessary on this one. It's Carl Hiaasen's Fever Beach. It's his M.O. to create these wackadoodle scenarios in which he skewers Floridians who don't have a solid grip on reality or facts.
Right.
And I found it hilarious.
It's an easy
read. Lots of fun.
Is it sort of set in real time and really does describe Florida?
Oh, sure, yeah. And if you were a fan of the Proud Boys or Militias or the J6ers, you probably don't want to read this one.
Oh, you know what? Brenda told me about this one, so she enjoyed it too. And that's Hiaasen Beach, did you say?
No, it's Fever Beach Carl Hiaasen.
I was close.
You're close.
Steve Bertrand, do you have a clean line? Hello.
Hello, John. Yeah, you know, a book I read that was really a lot of fun too is called 99 Ways to Die, which doesn't sound like it's that fun, but the subtitle is "In Ways to Avoid Them." And it's written by it's a great story, this woman whose daughter, her mother was very ill when she was young, and the family couldn't understand what the doctors were telling them. So she went into medicine to sort of become a translator. She's an emergency room doctor now. Ashley Alcar is her name. And she writes this book about different ways that we die. And, in a lighthearted way. But here's a thing I'd never thought about, and she touches on this. You know, Darwinism, right? The survival of the fittest. Our medicine is improving to such a degree that it might not apply anymore. I mean, think of that. The things that might have died us off or killed us off in the past are being treated, cured, and those of us who aren't the fittest are surviving. But it's a fun book. It's really funny. For example, you know, my daughter Emma lives in Australia, and that's where there's so many ways to die, poison spiders and things like that. It's really true. But so a couple tidbits for you. If a kangaroo comes up to you, stands up tall, and starts to pee on you, that's a sign of aggression. So you might want to back away. Okay?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm writing this down.
Say that again. Okay. Who's peeing on who?
If a kangaroo approaches you, stands up, and starts to pee at you, that's a sign he's about to attack you.
Wow.
All right.
And that happened once in the newsroom years ago, and I didn't realize what it was.
You know, that sounds like something Mary Roach would write. She writes about human beings and biology, books like Bonk and Grunt, and how your digestive tract works, how your sexuality works, how you live and die. This is called 99 Ways to Die. Okay.
Right. And while we're in Australia, also, the koalas, they're very restrictive about if you can hold a koala. I did last time I was there, but I read in this book that they have a real chlamydia problem. So,
well,
you might want to stay away from that, too.
Two really helpful practical facts there from Steve Bertrand.
Thank you.
But there really are. I mean, there's, you know, the diabetes and heart conditions and things. It's serious and it's funny.
Yeah.
Just one other. She's a TV consultant for TV shows, and she doesn't work on the pit, but she knows the people who do. But there actually have been studies. The reason it's important to get medicine right on TV, and she says they do on the pit, but there was a study done that when people tried to perform CPR on someone who had, you know, come under attack near them,
if they learned on TV, they learned the wrong way in the past, and they actually were hurting their passengers or their patients.
Yeah.
So that's why they need to get QPR, things like that, right on these TV shows. 99 Ways to Die and How to Avoid Them. It's a really fun, doesn't sound like it, but it's a really fun read.
Give us another one, Sarah Tiemann.
The Eternal Forest, A Memoir of the Cuban Diaspora by Elena Shepherd. It is the most beautifully written book. It's poetic, kind of a multi-generational memoir of the author's family. She was born in New York, feels sort of like kind of other Cuban, like she knows she's, you know, of Cuban heritage, but sort of feels far away from it, and basically grew up on the stories of her grandmother and her mother. Kind of becomes the like storyteller of her grandmother's stories and writes them all down. Heads back to Cuba on two different trips, once with her mother and once with her future husband to be. And it's just like a lovely, lovely story, kind of talking about history and heritage through the matrilineal line. You know, even today, all these weeks on from reading this, I think what really stood out for me is like the complicated relationships and emotions between the people who are exiled. So the people that for whatever reason made the decision to like leave their home country to another, then their relationships with the people who stayed behind,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of like, you know, transfer and, you know, what it's like to go back and, reconnect with those people. And then, you know, the feelings of belonging and heritage and how those emotions change across generations. Like when we're, you know, in the midst of something, we're super passionate and like that's all we can think of. It's like all consuming. And as time gets further and further away, you're kind of more removed from that. So it was very beautifully written. And I like diving into stories, you know, from other voices that I don't read as much of. So The Eternal Forest, A Memoir of the Cuban Diaspora by Elena Shepherd. It was just lovely. And I will add to counteract Steve Bertrand's book, Mary Roach's latest book, Replaceable You, might be the antidote to 99 Ways to Die, because it's all about finding a replacement body part and like the science and the scope behind that.
Yeah.
So,
maybe we'll reach out to her because she's always a fun conversation and she's good at that genre, if it's a thing. Book Club on WGN is here. I'm John Williams, along with Bob Kessler from the newsroom, Sarah Tiemann, who's left us, but not completely. She's in England and is the librarian of this thing. Steve Bertrand has his own books podcast, and Steve Alexander is a reader, too. Bob Kessler, what's the book you want to share?
Don Winslow, a great crime author. In fact, the film Crime 101, which is out now, is based on one of his short stories. So I read three of his books that were a trilogy last year, City on Fire, City in Ruins, City of Dreams. I love those. And a new short story compilation just came out called The Final Score. I'm not usually big on short stories because they feel a little short for lack of a better term. The characters don't have a chance to really develop in the way that a full novel can. But this was an exception. The characters were really well drawn. The stories were really, really interesting and gripping. If you like movies like Heat and Goodfellas and crime movies, which I do like, this is a total page turner. I would finish one story and couldn't wait to start another. So I think I read this one in the course of a weekend. The Final Score, Don Winslow. I want to read now everything he has written. He's written a lot.
A compilation that I enjoyed was The Best American Science and Nature Writing. You may know that's an area that I'm very comfortable in. It's edited by Susan Orlean, and she's such a great writer, of course, and I trust her judgment. And it's just one very long magazine article after another, if you will, or short exploration of issues like how birds talk or how to survive in hot climates and how human beings have adapted. It's science and nature writing, and every page just go, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. And if you have somebody in your life who appreciates science or nature, this is very readable. And you don't have to read the whole thing. It's a series of the best of science and nature writing from last year. That's the title by Susan Orlean. Steve Alexander, why don't you share another one?
Yeah, Unplugged by Tom Freston. He was the CEO of MTV, one of the founding fathers of MTV, then the CEO of MTV Networks. But before all of that, and there's some fascinating stories around that, and especially around Sumner Redstone. Before all of that, he spent about 7 years hitchhiking through Europe and Africa and India and Afghanistan, experiences that really added to and helped him in his later career as the CEO of MTV. Very, very interesting story.
Unplugged makes sense. Steve Bertrand, why don't you share?
Yeah, I should say, too, my podcasts are up on my Facebook pages, so I'll post it there. And Dr. Alkar from 99 Ways to Die is the guest this week, so that's there. Another book that is, it's about death, but it's called Night, Night Fawn. It's more of a literary novel by this guy, Jordy Rosenberg. And it's fascinating because it's told from two perspectives from the same person. It's a woman, Ellen Rosenberg, who is dying in her New York City apartment. And so she's in and out of these sort of codeine-induced fantasies, I guess you'd say. And then alternate to that is she's giving a real memoir of her life. And it's very funny. It's incredibly funny the way it's written, but it's serious. As it turns out, Jordy Rosenberg in real life is transgender. And his mother in the book, Ellen Rosenberg, notice they have the same name, keeps referring to her transgender son as the biggest mistake of her life. She wrestles with her history. She wrestles with a best friend who she became estranged with. And her best friend comes to her in her dying moments. And it becomes unclear as to whether she's hallucinating a lot of these things that are happening mm-hmm. to her mm-hmm. or whether they're really happening to her. But it's an entertaining, it's a fun read about some serious stuff. It's called Night, Night Fawn. And it's by this guy, Jody Rosenberg, who will be on the podcast coming up probably in a few weeks.
How about you, Sarah Tiemann?
Best Offer Wins by Marissa Cascino. If you're a fan of dark and twisty, this is for you. I almost kind of put it aside because the main character, the best term I can think to describe her is unhinged. But the pacing and my curiosity, I read this in like 2 days, if that. So we meet Margot. And she is obsessed with finding the perfect dream home. She's identified where her perfect dream home is in the greater DC metro area, but they are faced with a very competitive market. Her and her husband had sold their home, thinking that they'd be able to get into another home really quickly. They had to shift to a one bedroom. They're trying to have a baby and look for a house. So she's under a lot of pressure. She stressed me out because she would do all these wacky, crazy things and sort of like, you know, keep her job at an arm's length. And I'm like, girl, you're going to get fired. It's just like the level she goes to secure this dream house. So she gets tipped off about this house by her realtor and then basically proceeds to stalk the home, meet the current owners.
Right.
And it goes way, way deeper than that. It's crazy. But I mean, if you like that sort of a thing, it's a little psychological too. It keeps jumping back at me. I think it was a book that I, you know, needed to read. Girl on the Train, like by Paula Hawkins. If you're a fan of that sort of ilk, I think this would be the read for you. But, wow.
Best Offer Wins. And you don't have to answer this because I don't want to spoil the book. Does she get the house or is it a spoiler to answer that?
I don't want to answer
there
that.
You go. There you go. There you go.
It's real good.
It would seem to me like that would kind of work against her. Among the text messages, oh my gosh, I just started listening to this book, Theo of Golden, on audio yesterday. 1 hour in, I was crying this morning. Amazing book.
It's really amazing.
Has anyone read Frozen River by Ariel Lahan? A+ for this read. Outstanding. You agree, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I tried it. I think I'm going to have to come back around to it because I wasn't in the right time or place for it.
Frozen River. And Culpability by Holsinger, a novel about AI and its implications in everyday life, is thought-provoking.
Yes, fab.
Says another listener. Guys, we're out of time. So the audio of this conversation, plus all of our books, many of which we have not been able to talk about here, are at WGNRadio.com/books or on the John Williams page. And if you don't see it there right away, give us a couple minutes and we'll get it all put together for you. Okay, Steve Bertrand, what's the name of your podcast one more time, please?
Steve Bertrand on Books, and you can find it at WGNRadio.com, at Spotify, or just about anywhere you find your podcast.
All right. Nice to hear your voice, Steve. Steve Alexander, thanks for chiming in, too. Bobby Kay, you got to go down the hall and get ready to do the news,
I'm
right?
I'm going to work now.
And Sarah, our best to all of you, you and John and all of your friends there in England, okay?
Thank you. We'll see you next month, hopefully, when I'm coming into town.
Yeah, we'll do it in studio.